With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, the broken egg, the bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad taste, bad locks, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. People dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friend Nick come around, fast and fat, a party, all brands on the winds, on bed bungs, and down. What a mess, this town to tatter, barbarians are splattered all over Manhattan. Shake it up, should do it. Are you with us tonight from New York? All right, 855-212-4227. Again, 855-212-4227. Chad Finn, a columnist with the Boston Globe, our good friends up in Beantown, will join us here in about 13 minutes to talk about the Celtics and Red Sox. And I think we'll pretty much leave it at that. Joe Beninati at 11 Eastern, our good friend from the Washington Capitals, their great TV play-by-play man and a regular on the bench to talk about the Caps series up 2-1 now on the charging Lightning as they won a big game in D.C. last night. They'll go at it again, I believe, Carver High tomorrow night. I love having these big games every night. Right now, the Rockets are up 14 on the Warriors at the half in H-Town, Toyota Center, trailing 1-0 in the series, getting a nice effort this evening from a little bit more than the last game in terms of everybody else pitching in besides Harden. Harden with 14, a couple of threes, but it's Ariza's 15, Tucker 14, and Eric Gordon 13. Eric Gordon and Tucker both with 3 3-point shots. So they're doing a lot better getting everybody else involved in this game tonight. As for Golden State, it's been the KD show per usual. 18 for Durant with a couple of trays. Perfect from the line. 6 of 11 from the floor. And then everything else fairly mediocre. Thompson's got 8. Curry, 7. And nothing else to speak of. They're perfect from the line, but the bottom line is they're not getting to the line enough. They went 5 times to the 11 for the Rockets, up 14 at the half. Hockey in Vegas. The Golden Knights get a Marchessault goal 35 seconds into the first period in their first Western Conference final game at home. They're down 1-0, then they tie it up in Pharrellipeg at 1s with a big road win, and now at home they have the home ice. See what they do with it. They're underway here in the second period at the T-Mobile in Cincinnati. Marchessault again with the goal for Vegas. We'll keep our eyes on both of these games throughout the night for you. Can the Rockets show some guts and make this a series by getting a big win tonight and evening it up at once? The finalists for the NBA's postseason awards were announced today. James Harden, LeBron James, Anthony Davis are the 3 finalists, and they're going to give it to Harden. The Bucks hire former Hawks head man Mike Budenholzer as their next coach. Budenholzer gets the Bucks going. Can he get him over the hump? You got to ask yourself this question, frankly. Is he a better coach than Jason Kidd? And I just, you can't prove that to me. I'm sorry. He was always highly rated, right, and highly, recommended and had the reputation as an assistant, and everybody knew it, right? Then he finally got his job, right, in Atlanta, fair enough, right? Then they won a bunch of games, fair enough. Then what happened? This year they sucked, and he did nothing. And then it's strange to me, right? Like, he started trying to get out of there. Right, he had a job there, and then he wanted to, you know, go everywhere else. Literally, like the Knicks, he wanted all these jobs. Am I wrong? I think he's overrated. That's just me. I just don't see it. I don't get it. What did he do? Like, what's so fantastic about him is what I'm suggesting. I'm not trying to be mean toward the guy. I don't have one care in the world about Mike Budenholzer. I just think, they've mowed through coaches up there, right? And they got all these star young players that should be winning, right? How could they not win with the talent? I think they have talent on that team. Even Brogdon, I like. I like everyone on that team, right? And we all know about Greek Freak and Middleton and all these guys. I even think Parker, I don't even think they utilize him the right way, right? I think he's probably out of there. But I don't see that guy taking them, this is just me, like anywhere further than what they've been doing. What's so special about him to take them to the next level? I just don't see it. I mean, maybe it's me. You tell me, Milwaukee. Good evening, Milwaukee. There you go. So there's a lot happening tonight. And we have everything. Cavs players calling Celtics Danny Ainge a thief for the Kyrie trade. Really? We're going to start with that now? Tyronn Lue, LeBron wanted the Cavs to trade for DeAndre Jordan at the deadline. So we'll talk about all this. The draft lottery winners and losers. Even James Dolan in the news tonight. Ethan Hawke, the actor, said the guy stripped him of his tickets after he criticized the team. You're not allowed to criticize James Dolan's awful basketball team, franchise, club, whatever you want to call them. They're so awful, but you're not allowed to say that. Otherwise, you'll be banned. And then when you come to the games, he'll have 15 security guards date rape you. Did you think that Oakley deserved all that attention he got where they tackled him to the ground? Did you really think he deserved all that? A legend?
No.
Thanks. Caps have discipline issues. We'll talk about that with Beninati. We also have the GM of the Year Awards, Sheveldayoff, McPhee, and Eiserman, as opposed to Eisenberg. Tom Wilson, not a fan of Anton Strawman's Game 3 hit. Imagine that, Tom Wilson, the cat calling the kettle black. Here's the dirtiest player going these days, and he's mad someone else hit him. Please. Miggy doesn't like what's going on. He says he feels underappreciated. I'm done playing hurt. Now, he's not going to play. He's just going to sit around and get paid and get fat.
He had a lot to say today between
he's mad
that
about Cano.
And Cano. He showed up at the ballpark today and decided to let it all out, I guess.
I guess it was psychiatry day at the Comerica. Don't count the Yankees out in the pursuit for Harper. What did you want to say, Carver?
I was just going to say he's going to
keep. Some more.
We'll get to him later. I was going to say he's definitely going to cash that $30 million he's going to make this year, though, right, Cabrera? Going to have no problem cashing those checks.
Cespedes is going to the DL. Dez Bryant not showing any remorse for not taking the Ravens gig. Randy Gregory applying for reinstatement in Dallas. He's the defensive end. You remember him? He was in drug and alcohol rehab for 6 weeks, counseling, everything else. He'll the defensive end will apply for reinstatement tomorrow. Here's Jason Kelsey. I don't think we're getting the respect of Super Bowl champs. Here we go.
What is the problem with these guys? What more do they want?
I don't think they understand, really. I don't think they really know how to be champs.
Lane Johnson, Kelsey,
right.
What is the problem here?
They don't know
here?
How to act like champions. You know, just ignore everyone. You're the best, but you're still looking for people to pat you on the back.
It's been 3 months. I mean, it's the dead season for the NFL. What do you want, a parade every day?
Yes. We're going to have a look at the quarterbacks tonight, Carver High, in the NFL, an evaluation of all them. Thurman Thomas getting honored and shuffled off to Buffalo. College football news. How about Alabama-Louisville to kick off the Saturday Night Football on TV? Alabama-Texas announced a home-and-home series. I got Ohio State's football schedule for like the next 5 or 6 years. Michigan State to pay $500 million to survivors of Larry Nassar's abuse. Is that enough? It represents 18.5% of its entire endowment. Penn State settlements to this point to the victims of Jerry Sandusky, $500 million. Michigan State settles, $109 million to victims of Sandusky, $500 million for Larry Nassar. UFC going to hold an event in Moscow, finally. Tiger to be paired with Peyton Manning at the Memorial Pro-Am at the end of the month. We've got Justified drawing the number 7 post for the Preakness at Pimlico this weekend. And we've got so much more happening tonight. Are you kidding? How great is this? Conference finals in hoops, conference finals in hockey every night. My great snags at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Baseball winners, boxing. How about last week, 9-0 on the MMA pick Saturday in the UFC and Bellator. Daily fantasy rosters, PharrellOnTheBench.com has it all. Sign up today, particularly if you live in New Jersey where gambling is now legal on sports.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So Vegas gave up an equalizer to Winnipeg. It was 1-1. And then right after that, James Neal banged in a goal. It's 2-1 Vegas. In no time, it was 1-0 before we burped. And then I looked up, it was 2-1. Neal's 4th of the postseason. Do you know who had the Winnipeg goal there, Carver High, at all? It was so fast. Shifley may have been in on it. We'll see. There you go. 2-1 Vegas here in the second with under 14 and rolling at the T-Mobile in Sin City. And 74-59 Rockets on the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. Yay. And then KD drains a bomb. It's 74-62, so now they're down 12. Chad Finn, the great columnist from the Boston Globe, joins us again on the bench. Mr. Finn.
How you doing, man?
How's it going, brother? Everything good?
Everything's good, yeah. Celtics are up 2-0. Everybody's happy up here in New England.
Yeah, I liked your piece on Marcus Smart. You know, I've said that on the show that I wouldn't, you know, get rid of that guy for anything. The way he intimidates physically, mentally, the way he gives up literally the body, everything is his entire focus is being, you know, this defender, this tough guy, this you're not doing this to us, you're not doing it in this building, not as long as I'm on this team working and getting paid. I mean, this guy goes to work, and he's just a difference maker for this team.
He really is, and it's funny because he's kind of a sort of a controversial player here. You know, Boston fans can be. They're nitpicky, to say the least, sometimes. And he doesn't shoot well. He's not a good shooter. He's probably one of the lowest percentage shooters in NBA history, just in terms of three-point and two-point. And you watch him for a game or two, he can frustrate you because he'll take shots that he has no business taking. Even did a little bit last night. But you watch him more than once or more than three or four times, and you realize all the things that he does to the team. It's a pit bull on defense. I can't come up with a comparison for a player that they've ever had quite like him, who makes so many game-changing plays just diving for loose balls or grabbing an offensive rebound in traffic against bigger players, that sort of thing. He's totally unique in Celtics history, and I don't think there have been a lot of guys like him in the NBA who can go out there, shoot 3-for-10, and still have a plus-minus of 21 like he did last night. And this happens all the time with him. It's not a fluke because this is who he is, and he has a tremendous impact on the Celtics when they're playing well, even if he looks at times like he's not contributing on the offensive end.
They compared him to you did, Casey Jones. Do you feel that at some day, because he's such a unique player, I think he's the most invaluable guy. Like, he's absolutely I can't express enough how I would not trade that guy for anything. I don't even care what it is. He should just be on that team no matter what. And then do you think in the future that he'll be like Casey Jones and one day, maybe a long time from now down the road, he would be the coach of the Celtics? He seems like the kind of guy that could end up being just like Casey Jones, player, coach.
Yeah, it's interesting with Marcus because you watch him on the court and he's ferocious and – you assume, okay, this guy's a tough guy and he's always like that, but he's a really nice person, really genuine guy. Talks about, you know, the really tough upbringing that he had. His younger brother died when he was just a kid, or his older brother died when Marcus was just a kid of cancer, and he said all sorts of things like that happened to him. And yet he's a really positive, bright guy who knows a ton about basketball. He's Brad Stevens' kind of guy as a player, and I think he has a really bright future. I hope that future is with the Celtics. He's free agent after the season. They didn't pick up his option, and it was kind of a debate whether they should. And I think Danny Ainge just wanted a little bit of wiggle room with what he was trying to do with the roster at the time. And that did work out, but you watch Marcus Smart, if you're a general manager of the Raptors or Oklahoma City or some team that feels like it underachieved during the postseason, You look at what Marcus Smart's doing for the Celtics right now, and you say, you know what, that's a guy I'm going to pay to get on my team to change our culture a little bit here. So I don't know if he's here beyond this year. I really hope he is, because he is someone who this time of year always seems to play his best and care so much about just winning and nothing else.
I don't think they're, you know, stupid, Chad. I think that at some point or another, they're going to have to realize and sit down, Danny and Brad and everyone, and you know, just finally give him a deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird how it's taken shape this year, because you came into this year, everything was built around Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward. That lasted 5 minutes and 15 seconds, something like that, into the season. And then Kyrie got hurt later on after Hayward did. And Rozier emerged as the fourth guard to being basically the playmaker and the point guard and someone who can get you 15, 20 points a night now. Marcus rose up that chart to be somebody who was a third guard and a defensive specialist. And now he's someone you're counting on for 30, 35 minutes in a playoff game to play at that relentless level that he does. So they may have a decision between those two guys that have emerged this season, between Smart and Terry Rozier, who's a completely different kind of player.
Can you even believe Vegas scored again? Tuck from Neil. Neil went behind the net and fed it out in front to Alex Tuck, who loves eating it on Diamo. He loves the tomahawk steak. He just had his fifth at 8:13 here. It's 3-1 now, Vegas. So let me ask you, Chad Finn, Boston Globe. They're up 2, and I don't know if I get this feeling, you know, because I'm on in Boston and everything, so I get this wave of confidence that they express. These fans are nuts up there, as you know, and they start with all their nonsense, like it's over and it's a done deal, it's in the bag, and it's we got this, and you know, the Bruins were going to win the Stanley Cup, and the Patriots are going to win every game they play, and the Red Sox are going to go undefeated. This is what I get. So my question is, do you buy any of that this series is over before they play those two games in Cleveland?
Hell no. I mean, they haven't played out there yet. And the one real issue with the Celtics this postseason is some of the players have been different at home than on the road, especially the young guys. Rozier really hasn't played well on the road, especially in the Milwaukee series. But he's looked like a borderline all-star at times playing at the Garden. So you got to see what he goes out there and does. You got to see how Tatum and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown play out there in that raucous environment with LeBron all fired up and the crowd behind him. It's something they have to prove. I think they believe they can go in there and get a split and come home up 3-1. And, you know, the crazy Boston fans believe that too. I think that's possible too. I really believe the Celtics are the better team in the series, but you can't judge a series until at least they've played one game in both places. Cleveland, the guys who haven't come through for Cleveland, maybe they'll be better at home too. We've seen it with J.R. Smith before. He's better in front of the home fans, and LeBron really hasn't gotten anything out of anybody else. So maybe that'll happen out there in game 3.
Do you think, because I think, you know, as you do, you said they've been the better playoff team. I think they've been the better team flat out. I think that Cleveland team is the more exposed and more talked about and more covered nationally on ESPN, et cetera. They never stop talking about the Cavaliers and the Lakers, et cetera. But the Celtics don't get that kind of juice. So my point is, I actually have thought that Boston, with Kyrie, without Kyrie, still is a better team than Cleveland from start to finish the season, including the playoffs.
Well, they do certain things much better. I mean, they're the number one defense in the NBA this year, and you can see that. You can see why that happened right now. Seems like they've got 5, 6, 8 guys on the court who can all rotate defensively, can all handle any switch that's thrown their way. They play in LeBron man-to-man with 3 or 4 different guys right now. And, yeah, he dropped 42 last night, but they seemed to slow him down just enough when they had to. There's real versatility on the Celtics. They have younger legs. Jason Tatum is looking like a guy. And Paul Pierce basically said Jason Tatum is at 20 years old what Paul Pierce was at 23 in the NBA. So his future is crazy. Jaylen Brown just keeps getting better. He shot 29% from threes when you're in college. Now he's shooting, 45%, something like that, in the playoffs. So these young guys are really ascending fast. And that's been, to me, the significant factor in them being able to handle the Irving injury, the Hayward injury, even losing backup center Daniel Tice, is a pretty good young player. They overcame it because the young guys grew up so fast. It's really been remarkable to watch that.
So do you want to come back and talk about the Red Sox, or do you want to go back and watch the Rockets game? It's up to you. I'd love to have you. It's up to you, though. I mean, I know you're probably drinking beer at this point.
No, I'll talk Sox.
Sure. All right, we'll talk Red Sox with him. We got this Celtics thing in the back. We still have to talk about the Red Sox, Alex Cora, everything going on, off-season, Pats. There's a lot happening. I think the Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup, according to my callers. Pete Schwartz is in here. Do you think the Bruins are going to win the Stanley Cup? I mean, their fans tell me every night they're never going to lose a game.
Well, if the fans say it, then it's got to happen, right?
It's automatic. Yes. I mean, the Bruins are about to win the Cup again here this season.
Even though they're not in the playoffs, still win the Stanley Cup.
It's an unbelievable development.
It's the reverse of the NCAA stripping a team of winning a championship because of
rules. It really is.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so the Red Sox beat the A's 6-4. Sale improved to 4-1 over Trevor Cahill. And they avoid the sweep. We're talking to Chad Finn of the Boston Globe. That was an ugly series against Oakland when you think about it.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, Sale was kind of the savior tonight. He's had his velocity up the last two games, which has been a good sign because it wasn't there early in the year. But behind him in the rotation, they're really still sorting things out. Rick Porcello's hit a bump after a great start. He's had the flukiest Cy Young Award season you could ever imagine, and it's been pretty mediocre otherwise with the Red Sox. And David Price just continues to be an enigma here, and you have no idea what you're getting from him from start to start. But it's not going to be $31 million worth of performance, that's for sure.
What do you think of that, how it all has really started so ugly, that deal? I mean, it really has been a disaster since the day they signed him.
It has, and he shouldn't have come here in the first place because he didn't really want to. Dave Dombrowski, who had him in Detroit, got him from Tampa Bay and knew him well, thought it would work, and so they blew everybody else out of the water with their offer. And I guess he felt like he couldn't say no to the money, but he should have known his history here with Boston. It wasn't going to get better unless he got off to a fantastic start that first season, 2016, and it didn't. He was terrible the first month, and he ended up winning 17 games that season, but fans got a bad impression of him already, and he kind of came in with one because he had gotten into it with David Ortiz in the postseason a couple times. He'd struggled against the Red Sox in the playoffs, so Sox fans didn't really have a good image of him anyway. What he should have done is just taken the Cardinals' offer, which was second best and a perfect place for him. You know, they're kind and gentle baseball fans out there, at least compared to the East Coast, and would have been a better fit for him. But instead, he's wallowing in misery here for year three now.
Do you think so? Bogaerts had I think he hit a 3-run homer tonight, and then JD Martinez had a 2-run shot. He's been incredible. But the Sandoval deal was so bad. The Price deal was so bad. Do they feel like that they finally got it right with Martinez?
Yeah, it looks that way. And actually, kind of at a bargain rate. I mean, he and Scott Boras went into the offseason thinking it was going to be a $200 million contract that he ended up with. Something not to the Stanton level, but reasonably close in that ballpark. And he was out there, I think, longer than expected. You know, Boras keeps guys out if they don't get a suitable blow-them-out-of-the-water offer. But longer than he expected, and the speculation he really didn't want to come to Boston, but it's been a perfect marriage so far. He's really fit in well in the clubhouse. He's bonded with guys like Mookie Betts, and other people are really into the data of hitting and really praised baseball guys, really love the game. So it's been a perfect fit on the field, been a perfect fit in terms of his temperament, and for once, a really big free agent coming to Boston has worked out well right off the bat.
So what's Chad Finn with us, Boston Globe? What's the feeling about Alex Cora so far?
Great, great guy. I mean, the issue, one of the issues with John Farrell, who was, I mean, he finished first place the last 2 years of his tenure, won a World Series on the first one, and had a couple last place finishes in between. So there were extreme up and downs, but fans really got frustrated with him because he never answered anything. Asking him a question in a post-game press conference about something that went wrong in the game, and what he would say would sound like the second paragraph of an AP game story. The Red Sox, you know, we won 4-2 and got six good innings out of Sale, and it drove everybody nuts. He never answered anything. Cora has that same ability Terry Francona had, where if he makes a mistake or he makes something, makes a decision during a game that's unusual, he has a really good way of explaining it. He can take something that seems weird and just be blunt about it, be honest about it, and I think makes fans feel better that the manager is up front. He's had some issues with managing, basically, using not using pinch hitters like Mitch Moreland to hit for Christian Vasquez when it seemed like that was a logical thing to do late in the game. Pitching stuff, getting the best out of bullpen's been a bit of an issue. But in general, I think fans would probably give him A-, B-plus, and he's been a better fit than Farrell, that's for sure.
So do you think I want to know how you feel about Pedroia's future there. He's in a rehab stint now with his knees, finally playing ball. How long do you anticipate that guy I don't know his contract and all this stuff, because isn't he, are people starting to talk about him, you know, with his injuries and everything, that he's starting to get to be over the hill?
Yeah, I mean, he was hurt last year, and he acknowledged after the season that it was in the injury, the one that's kept him out until probably a week or so from now. The knee injury was agonizing to play through, and he's not one to talk about that as it's happening, but you can kind of tell with him, you've always been able to tell through his history that when he's not playing well, or when he's trying to play through an injury, it never works. He'll hit 125 for 3 weeks, and everybody will say, look at Pedroia playing tough, playing through this. And it's kind of absurd that he does, because he's not contributing. I think maybe he learned that lesson a little bit last year, that if you're hurt, get the heck off the field and get yourself right, and we'll be waiting for you when you come back. His contract's through 2021. It's reasonable, though. It's about $8 million a year at the end of it. So it's something. It's not like a Sandoval deal or anything like that, where they're going to struggle to overcome it if he's not a capable player before it's up. So I think people are looking forward to him being back. They expect him to be a little bit healthier than he was a season ago, but the 34-year-old second baseman, so who knows how long that's actually going
to
last.
Were you surprised Chad Finn, the great writer with the Boston Globe, was on the bench? Were you surprised that Mookie Betts, frankly, is their best player?
No, Mookie's a gift. He really is. He's so good at everything, and he had a truly exceptional season 2 years ago, where he finished second, I believe it must have been to Trout in the MVP balloting, and had a real shot to win the thing. There was some disappointment around here that he didn't. Fell off a little bit last year, you know, he only hit 260 after being over 300 the year before, but he's right back at that level right now of 2 years ago, and even beyond it. He's been arguably the best hitter in baseball this season, and is a truly tremendous defensive player. And people forget he came up as a second baseman. That's what he played in the minor league. But Pedroia was there, so they moved him to the outfield, and it took him about 2 months to become a gold glove caliber outfielder. He just feels like he can do anything you ask him to do. He's hitting leadoff. He could hit third. He could hit cleanup. But he just continues to rake and continues to make spectacular plays night after night, and really is one of the three or four best players in baseball right now.
So when you write up there, when you're doing your job, you're sitting there in this great sports town, and you've got, you know, the Patriots and everything to cover, and Tom Brady, et cetera, Belichick, la-di-da, and then the, you know, Red Sox and the Celtics and Bruins. When you're sitting there busting off your pieces, do you feel which one brings you the most enjoyment in your life?
Basketball, Celtics. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
I like the sport better.
It's
a hugely likable team. But I tell you, man, the stuff that gets read is Patriots, no matter what it is. You can write about the fourth string, the seventh round quarterback at LSU they just picked, and people read that more than they do a story about the Bruins winning a playoff game.
But your favorite is basketball?
Oh, yeah, man, yeah.
And you love it. When you grew up, were you a hoop fanatic or something?
I grew up in the Bird era, so there's your answer.
There you go, boom. And as you know, Carver High, who is my favorite player of all time?
Bird.
Larry Bird. Listen, you know, I don't know. So I went to the Hall of Fame and spent like hours in the Larry Bird wing of the Hall of Fame in Springfield. He's got his own wing. But I have to say, when they honestly compare shooters and players to – him, I never failed to choose Larry Bird because I thought he played basketball in that differently than everyone else in the sense that he did everything so incredibly well, like every stat known to man. Like, I mean, he did everything. He shot, he finished, he dunked, he swatted, he rebounded, he passed, he got offensive boards, defensive boards, tip-ins, game-saving shots, game-saving passes, diving on the floor. And then people said, oh, Steph Curry's the greatest. I never saw anyone in shoot like that guy. Ever in anything ever. I don't care who it is. I don't care what anybody says. People talk about Steph Curry and all these other people. That's great. Congratulations. Larry Bird would dunk in his face, and he was so much bigger and did so much more. He played the game at a different, like, this other guy just shoots threes and has a great handle and passes. I'll give him that. He's incredible. He's incredible. And Larry Bird's 10 times better. There you go. Well, how do you like that?
You hear so much nowadays from the young guys who say, oh, he can play in the league now because it's faster and everybody's willing to act or whatever. But he would thrive in this league, man. He'd be shooting 15 threes a game and throwing no-look passes to every cutter that went through the lane. He would be better now than he was then.
Dude, he would literally go – he would go up to the other team and say, I think I'm going to have 43 tonight. And then he'd have 43 and then he'd sit down.
That's right. He'd hit it right in the nose and leave.
I mean, it's just like, and he was the greatest trash talker of all time. He literally was better than anyone ever. No one ever came close to him talking smack.
That's because he always backed it up. He had the great line, and then he would do exactly what he said he was going to do.
I think he's terrible. That's probably a strong word as an executive, though. I mean, he looks miserable. He looks miserable doing it. Like when you see him sitting there at a game, at a Pacer game, he looks like he wants to jump in a river.
Yeah, when he was coaching too, Reggie Miller hit one of those buzzer beaters against the Knicks or whatever, and Bird wouldn't react. We see it out of Brad Stevens here, where there's a crazy ending to a game. There's absolutely no emotion shown from the coach. I think that's just how Larry was once he put the suit on.
Larry's God. That's all I have to say. Chad, great job as usual, and remember that when you go to bed tonight. Larry Bird is the greatest player ever.
I appreciate the reminder.
I mean, he is the great. I swear to God, I got to go, but I swear to God, ask Mafia. I will sit at my house on a Saturday, and I will pull up Larry Bird highlights for hours and watch them. I mean, every highlight I can watch of that guy is better than literally, I believe, sexual relations. I just think that Larry Bird is the greatest thing ever that ever happened to the world, more than Tom Brady.
You've made your case. I'm with you.
All right, I got to go.
Take care, man.
Bye. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO like Carver High did. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Chad Finn, great stuff from the Boston Globe, talking about everything Boston, particularly the Celtics and Red Sox. I did mention Tom Brady's name already tonight, Carver High, in the show, so we've got that checked. Check that off the list of things we need to do tonight. 98, 86, Rockets, 10 minutes left in Houston, and 3-1 Vegas, a minute and a half left in the second at the T-Mobile in Sin City.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.